Tax Act knows you probably don't need help filing taxes. But if you get stuck, we have live experts you can talk to. And who knows, you could hit it off and become long-term tax friends, staying up late at night, talking about deductions, refunds, personal exemptions. Heck, you could even fall in love and create a little dependent of your own one day. Or they could just answer your filing questions. Tax Act. Let's get them over with.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In our series on disinformation, this week it's the lies of Donald Trump. We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you're speaking to us from afar, but that doesn't stop you keeping an eye on the lies and disinformation spread by the new US president. In his inaugural address, how many untruths did you find?
There was at least five. Now, I'm currently in Mexico, so I'm just south of what's going on up there. And it's quite concerning because a lot of it's concerned the border. Trump's claim, the big one that caught a lot of attention, was that the US government has failed to protect the magnificent law-abiding American citizens. He actually used the word magnificent, but provides sanctuary for dangerous criminals and is allowing different countries, particularly Mexico, to send criminals and the mentally unbalanced across the border, and they're doing its policy. This is, of course, a classic bit of anti-immigrant disinformation. So that was one of the things he put out there. He claimed in relation to the Panama Canal that America was being ripped off and the Chinese were getting preferential rates. This is debunked as well. Everyone pays the same access fee, and the USA also operate a lot of the different docks on that particular stretch of water. And he again propagated election conspiracy theories from 2020, where he claimed in his inaugural address that election was totally rigged. That's just the start of it. He went on at least six different statements that were totally false. But this is because he's playing to his base. And it's quite frightening that the criticism of this is quite muted in the press in the US. And of course, the social media tech giants were there to support him, which is an even more frightening picture.
Now, he claimed in interviews afterwards, he's been talking a lot. He had a formal speech, which he said was sanitized by those around him. And then he had the informal speech where he let loose on people like Nancy Pelosi. He claimed that he had offered her 6,000 troops or whatever to defend the Capitol. Simply not true. But how does he expect stories like that, which are demonstrably untrue, how does he expect them to get traction?
Actually, he's got very good reason to expect it. He's been aided and abetted by a very cowed US media. You've got to remember that the Washington Post is part owned by Jeff Bezos, who was there at the inauguration and has been censoring criticism of Trump in his major paper, which is once a very respected outlet. The Los Angeles Times has become very muted. The only paper that is not currently muted on him is the New York Times. And you've got to remember, social media, where most people get their news from, is entirely in his favor. Mark Zuckerberg was at his inauguration. Jeff Bezos from Amazon. And of course, Elon Musk was there throwing Nazi salutes out to the crowd. So we live in an era where we would expect the fair and free media to maybe do something about this. They're far less likely to, in America at least. Criticism from abroad has been a lot stronger, but it is quite frightening to see how quickly the wheels have come off the idea of a free press in the States.
Mm. Now, you're in Mexico, as you mentioned. How do you feel about the Gulf of America?
Well, I was just flying over the Gulf of Mexico the other day. And that is a classic example of a bit of a propaganda attempt by Trump. First, he has no actual meaning apart from to stake in people's minds an idea that America has a claim to this, which it does not. It has been the Gulf of Mexico for forever. And what this is attempting to do is create a justification in the mind of Trump supporters that that's somehow theirs. And of course, Trump has been making noises about taking resources from Canada, from Greenland, and from Mexico, from extending his borders. And that's a very imperialistic mindset. So the noises he's making, like little actions like this, they don't have to be respected by other countries. They, indeed, I would argue, probably shouldn't be. But what it does is it sets up a mindset and a narrative to Trump supporters that this is somehow their property. And that's kind of worrying. It has not been well received here, I can assure you of that.
Now, the question of getting out of the Paris Accord and getting out of the WHO, particularly the World Health Organization, what impact does America's absence from these bodies actually have?
It has a huge impact. So in terms of the Paris Agreement, America is a major emitter of greenhouse gases and has always been pro capita one of the biggest emitters. If they don't take action to reduce their greenhouse emissions, that hobbles a lot of our international efforts at reducing climate change. Also, America was the biggest single donor to the WHO. They were founding members. They've invested a huge amount of money into this, and now they get a lot back from it, as we all do. But pulling out of these major international bodies, that's a very isolationist stance. It also hobbles the work they do because we live in an interconnected world where, you know, what happens, say, in a country different from us can affect us. That's very obvious with climate change, where if a different country is burning a lot more fossil fuels than you, you're still going to suffer the consequences. And in things like pandemics, where a pandemic may arise in one country, but because we're also interconnected, everyone's going to be affected. This has made everyone in the world sicker and more likely to suffer negative consequences. But again, it plays to the message of Trump's base. It's the idea that we want to be isolationist, America first, America first. Unfortunately, that's going to affect Americans too. As the most of the medical bodies have lambasted Trump's decision to pull out of the WHO in particular, because it is so counter-effective to what Americans would expect. It actually hobbles their health as well. They will not be as well prepared for pandemics. They will not be as well ready for the health emergencies that will come in the future, including those from climate change.
Now, there are many people in the United States of America who are well-educated. Now, you have to kind of take a grain of salt with some of those things, because we used to joke years and years ago that someone who came back from America might have had a degree in beekeeping. There's nothing wrong with beekeeping, but it was kind of to diminish the quality of some American institutions. But many of them are very eminent and world leaders in all sorts of science and other academic achievements. What's going to happen to that cohort of people who are looking on with dismay at how the ignorance of the MAGA group, and there must be educated people in the MAGAs, how that is dominating the discourse?
Well, that's a really excellent question, Pat. If we look at political attitudes in America over the years, it used to be that the median Republican voter and the median Democrat, they weren't that different. They had a lot of overlap. That's where you could go from a Bill Clinton to a George H.W. Bush pretty, you know, easily. However, what we've seen year on year, particularly since the advent of social media, is that those overlaps have become fewer and fewer. Those two curves have moved so far away that they exist in different territories. There's been a lot of speculation that we are so now polarized, and the states is, you know, leading that charge, that people exist in different political realities, that the MAGA people do not get the same media and same news and the same information as the people who are not MAGA. So they don't even deal with the same set of facts. In fact, they pick alternative facts that make sense. That makes democracy fundamentally quite undermined. If we can't agree on the basic facts, then how do we agree on what's the best approach to deal with them? What's the best policy to make? And what's really scary to see at the moment is Trump is basically playing to the people that don't believe in facts, the ones that he has misinformed for a long time. But what does that leave people in America who are well-informed? From the ones I've spoken to, pretty miserable. And I don't see it getting better anytime soon, which is the very concerning thing.
Now, Trump himself, you know, you say he's misleading them, and he certainly is doing that. But the point is, does he believe a lot of this stuff himself? I mean, we all remember when he was advocating drinking bleach as a cure for COVID, and that clearly was nonsense and dangerous, but he was advocating it as president of the United States, which really was the first monument to his stupidity. But anyway, he did it, and many people believed it. I don't know how many people came to harm. But I mean, how much of this stuff that he spouts does he actually believe himself? This morning we were playing a clip of him saying, who needs pardons? People did not do any wrong. The insurrectionists, why would they need a pardon, even though he gave them one? Because grave injustices were done to them.
He didn't just give a pardon to the non-violent insurrectionists, which was kind of expected he might do, because that's, again, playing to his base. He kind of appalled some of his Republican colleagues by giving a full pardon to people who had committed violence against police officers or had planned the insurrection. So why does he do this? The thing is, Trump is motivated by ego. And I think anyone who's worked with him, or a lot of people, like Anthony Scaramucci often says this, he's a total egotist and he just wants to frame things in ways that suit him. Now, on his own, there's people like Trump all around the world. And we all know someone a bit like Trump. The fact that he's in power and is being bowed to by people around him and is shaping policy is really the scary part. It's not the fact that he is narcissistic and is going to lie to make himself look better. It's the fact that no one is challenging that anymore. That in fact, even back in 2015, when he first announced he was running, other Republicans would mock the fact he lied so much. And now they are all kind of going along with the lie. That's very bordering on, you know, what has happened in dictatorships in the past. It's very frightening to see that happen in America. And it's been exacerbated by the fact that we no longer properly vet our media sources. So it's allowed bad actors who support Trump to wire the narrative in such a way that about a third of the country always believe what Trump says, even when we have objective evidence that he is lying. And it gets out to fewer and fewer people, these correctives. And now we have a more cowed media. It's a very frightening place to be in, and I wish I had a more optimistic take than that.
David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.